Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Gutter Queen, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Stench of Survival. They say you get used to the smell. That's a lie. The stink of rot, piss, and sewage seeps into your skin, clings to your clothes, curls inside your lungs like something alive, something that never leaves. The tunnels don't forgive weakness. You either adapt or you die. Simple as that. I adapted. My name's Riley, and down here, I'm the Gutter Queen. Ain't no gold crown or velvet robes. Just the respect of my crew and the fear of anyone dumb enough to cross us. We live in the veins of the city, deep in the underbelly where the forgotten rot and the desperate survive. The streets above belong to the rich, the untouchables in their high-rises and clean suits, but down here, we make our own rules. My gang, they're kids like me, runaways, throwaways, the ones society spat out like chewed up meat. We don't beg. We don't whimper. We take what we need. We move like shadows, swift and unseen, slipping through alleyways and crowded streets, picking pockets and cleaning out cash registers before anyone even notices. And tonight was supposed to be just another job. We'd been scouting the target for weeks. A fat, smug bastard in a suit who liked to parade his wealth around without a second thought. One of those corporate assholes who wouldn't flinch if a starving kid dropped dead on the sidewalk next to him. He had money. He had power. And most importantly, he never paid attention. Easy pickings. Or so I thought. The city above pulsed with neon light, the hum of engines and drunken laughter filling the air. Friday nights were my favorite. Too much booze, too many careless people, too many easy marks. I crouched in the shadows of a crumbling alleyway. My crew fanned out around me, like a pack of wolves waiting for the hunt to begin. I spotted the mark near a luxury car parked just outside a club, his phone glued to his ear, his other hand deep in his pocket. A little too confident. A little too unaware. Showtime, I whispered. Cade moved first, the smallest of our crew. 12 years old, wiry and quick. He darted forward, tripping, over the sidewalk and crashing straight into the man's legs. Hey, kid, what the fuck? The man snapped, stumbling back. Sorry, Mr. I. He never got to finish his sentence. My turn. Silent as a whisper, I slipped behind the man, fingers snaking into his pocket and lifting his wallet and phone in one smooth motion. He was too busy brushing Kate off to notice. I pulled away, tucking the goods into my jacket as I melted back into the crowd. Smooth. Perfect. Except for one thing. The USB drive. I hadn't even meant to take it. It had been wedged in next to the wallet, a small, unassuming piece of plastic that should have meant nothing. But the second I saw it, something in my gut twisted. It was heavy. Heavier than it should have been. And when I turned back toward the man, expecting him to just shake off the encounter and move on, I saw something that sent ice down my spine. Panic. The way his hands flew to his pockets. The way his face drained of color when he realized the drive was gone. His gaze darted around wildly, searching frantic. This wasn't about money. This wasn't about a stolen phone. This was about something much, much worse. I grabbed Cade's wrist and ran. By the time we made it back to the tunnels, my heart was still hammering. The others were waiting, Benny, Rook, Ash, and the rest of my crew, their faces eager as I dumped the stolen goods onto the rickety table in our hideout. Jackpot, Benny grinned, flipping open the wallet. Damn, this dude is loaded. I wasn't listening. My fingers traced the edges of the USB drive, a sick feeling creeping through my bones. Riley. Benny was watching me now, his excitement fading when he saw the look on my face. This ain't normal, I muttered. Guy didn't give a shit about his money. He lost his mind over this. I held up the drive. Benny's brow furrowed. You think it's something serious? I didn't answer. Just tossed it to him. Find out. Benny was the smartest of us. A hacker, a tech genius. A kid who could break into systems that should have been unbreakable. If there was anyone who could crack whatever was on that drive, it was him. The second he plugged it into his laptop, his face changed. This, his voice was dry, shaky. Riley, this ain't just something serious. This is the kind of thing that gets people killed. I leaned over his shoulder, my eyes scanning the screen. Documents. Emails. Spreadsheets filled with names, numbers, transactions. At first, it looked like just another case of rich people doing shady shit, corporate fraud, tax evasion, maybe a blackmail list. But the more I read, the colder my blood ran. Election fraud. Votes rigged. Elections bought. The names on the list weren't just politicians. They were cops, judges, media moguls, people who controlled the entire fucking city. The kind of people who don't make mistakes. And we had proof. I stepped back, pulse thundering in my ears. This is huge, Benny whispered. Riley, this could. I never got to hear what he was about to say. Because that's when the first gunshot rang out. Ash screamed. A bullet tore through the air, slamming into the concrete wall inches from her head. The tunnels exploded into chaos. People diving for cover, shouts and curses echoing through the darkness. I barely had time to register the figure standing at the entrance before he fired again. I recognized him immediately. Not a cop. Not a gang rival. Worse. A corporate enforcer. Slick suit, cold eyes, silencer on the gun. The kind of man sent to erase problems. And right now, we were the problem. Run! I screamed. We scattered. The tunnel swallowed us in shadows as bullets rained down, ricocheting off the walls. My heart pounded against my ribs as I sprinted through the sewer's maze, Benny on my heels. Fuck, F-U-C-K. Benny gasped, clutching the laptop against his chest. Drop it. I hissed. No, this drive is our leverage. We. A third shot rang out. Benny jerked. His body stumbled. And then he fell. I stopped breathing. Benny. I dropped to my knees, hands grasping at his hoodie, pressing down on the hole in his chest. Blood. So much fucking blood. His lips trembled. They found us so fast. I swallowed the panic, forcing myself to think. The enforcer was still coming. If I stayed, I'd be next. Benny grabbed my wrist, his grip weak. Don't let them win, he whispered. And then he went still. I ran. I ran like a goddamn coward. My best friend was dead. My crew was hunted. And I had one thing left. The fucking USB drive. I clutched it in my fist, lungs burning, legs aching, my mind screaming with one single brutal truth. We weren't just thieves anymore. We were witnesses. And that meant we were next. Chapter 2, Blood in the Water. Benny was dead. That fact drilled itself into my skull like a rusted nail, over and over, with every step I took through the tunnels. My lungs burned, my ribs ached, but I couldn't stop running. The enforcer was still behind me. I could hear his boots pounding against the wet concrete, steady and relentless. He wasn't panicked, wasn't even rushing. He was hunting me. I gritted my teeth, pushed harder. The tunnels twisted and turned, a maze of darkness and filth, but I knew them better than anyone. This was my world, and no corporate lapdog was going to take it from me. I slid around a corner, my boots skidding on the slick floor, and launched myself into a side passage. It was a tight, narrow gap, one only someone small and desperate could fit through. I pressed my back against the damp wall, forcing my breath to slow. Footsteps approached. Stopped. Silence. I squeezed my fists, the stolen USB drive still clutched tight in my grip. Then, a metallic click. Gun ready. A flashlight beam sliced through the darkness, sweeping the tunnel. I didn't move. Didn't even blink. The light hovered just inches from where I hid, then shifted. Another pause. Then the footsteps retreated. I waited. Counted my heartbeats until the tunnel swallowed the sound of his boots completely. Then I ran. By the time I made it back to our hideout, my body felt like it had been through a shredder. Blood smeared my hoodie, Benny's blood. My fingers were ice cold, my mind buzzing with static. The others were waiting. Rook, Ash, Cade. Their faces snapped toward me the second I stumbled inside. Where's Benny? Ash asked, her voice too soft, too hopeful. I didn't answer. I didn't have to. The silence hit harder than a bullet. Cade looked away, his fists clenching. Ash's lips trembled. Rook just stared. They fucking killed him? His voice was dangerous. I nodded. Something flickered in his expression, rage, grief, something bitter and broken. He turned away, pacing, hands gripping his hair. We gotta go, I said, forcing my voice to stay steady. They know about us. They're coming. No shit, Rook snapped. I didn't have time for his anger. I tossed the USB drive onto the table. This is what they were after. Benny died for this. That truth settled into my bones like lead. Ash picked it up, turning it over in her fingers. What's on it? Proof, I said. Election fraud. Dirty cops. names of every corrupt son of a bitch who runs this city. I swallowed hard. We have something they can't afford to lose. Silence. Then Rook laughed. Not the good kind. The kind that made my skin crawl. You think this means anything? He shook his head. We're rats to them, Riley. They don't care about exposure. They'll just erase us. They already are, Cade muttered. I looked at him. Then we don't give them a choice. Ash frowned. What do you mean? I exhaled slowly. My hands shook, but I curled them into fists. We hit back. The first strike. We didn't have guns, but we had rage. I knew the tunnels better than anyone. Knew how to move unseen, how to get inside places we weren't supposed to be. The rich lived in a bubble, separated from the filth from us. But their world was built on top of ours. And when you fuck with the foundation, the whole thing crumbles. City Hall had a state-of-the-art sewage system. Millions spent to keep their precious offices clean while the rest of us drowned in filth. All it took was a few explosives in the right spots. Cade rigged them, his fingers nimble, eyes too old for his 12-year-old face. He didn't talk much, just worked. We planted them beneath the mayor's mansion, beneath the police headquarters, beneath the corporate towers where men in suits signed away lives like they were fucking numbers on a page. Then we pulled the trigger. The sewers exploded. I stood on the rooftop of an abandoned building, watching as chaos erupted. Streets flooded with raw sewage, bursting through manholes, backing up into mansions, into restaurants, into pristine offices where millionaires sat in luxury. They had never touched the filth. Now they were drowning in it. And I smiled. Betrayal runs deep. We should have known there was a rat. Maybe I got too cocky. Maybe I thought we were untouchable after the attack. But when the first shot rang out, I realized how fucking wrong I was. Ash screamed. Gunfire tore through our hideout, bullets slicing through the darkness. The enforcers had found us. I hit the ground, rolling behind an old metal crate as the others scattered. My pulse thundered. How? How did they know exactly where to find us? And then I saw him. Rook. Standing too still in the chaos. Too calm. My stomach twisted. Rook. I whispered. He turned eyes cold. And then I saw the gun in his hand. The truth hit like a sledgehammer. You sold us out, I breathed. Rook's expression didn't change. They offered me a deal. His voice was empty. A way out. Something inside me snapped. You fucking coward. His grip tightened on the gun. It's over, Riley. I clenched my fists. My best friend had just put a knife in my back. But if he thought I was going down without a fight, he was dead fucking wrong. Chapter 3. The floodgates open. Betrayal cuts deeper than any knife. Rook had been my right hand. My second in command. My brother in everything but blood. And now? Now he had a gun pointed at me, his expression cold, unreadable. I wasn't surprised. I should have been. But something in my gut had warned me for weeks that something was off. That there was a crack in the foundation. I just didn't want to believe it was him. The hideout was in chaos. Ash was bleeding, clutching her shoulder where a bullet had grazed her. Cade was scrambling behind an overturned table, breathing too fast, too scared. And outside, the enforcers were closing in. We had nowhere to run. And Rook, he was the reason why. You really did it, I said, my voice steady even though my chest felt like it was caving in. You fucking sold us out. Rook's jaw tensed. It was the only way, Riley. They gave me a choice, help them or end up like Benny. The mention of Benny's name sent a wave of fury through me. My fingers twitched, aching to reach for my knife, to bury it in his gut. You think they're gonna let you walk away from this? I asked, taking a slow step forward. You think they're gonna let you be one of them? Rook hesitated. Just for a second. But it was enough. I moved. Fast. I lunged, knocking the gun aside just as he pulled the trigger. The shot went wide, shattering a pipe behind me. Steam hissed through the air, filling the space with a thick, suffocating heat. Rook stumbled back, but I was already on him. My fist connected with his jaw, snapping his head to the side. He swung back, but I ducked, driving my knee into his ribs. He gasped, dropping his gun. I kicked it across the floor, sending it skidding into the darkness. Riley, Ash's voice was sharp. We gotta go now. The enforcers were inside. I could hear their boots pounding against the metal grates, their voices barking orders. I turned back to Rook. He was on his knees, clutching his ribs, glaring up at me. Don't do it, he said, panting. You kill me, you're no better than them. I stared at him. My best friend, the person I'd trusted with my life, had betrayed us all. My hand tightened around my knife. Yeah, I murmured. Maybe I already am. Then I slashed the blade across his face and ran, drowning the city in filth. We barely made it out. K Cade led the way, ducking through a side tunnel that only we knew about. The enforcers were too slow, their gear too heavy, their guns useless in the winding maze of the underground. We ran until our legs burned, until our lungs screamed for air. When we finally stopped, we were deep beneath the city, in the old tunnels where no light ever touched. Ash slumped against the wall, her face pale from blood loss. Cade dropped to his knees, gasping for breath. I stood there, hands on my thighs, sweat dripping down my face. Thinking. This wasn't just about surviving anymore. This was about payback. We need to end this, I said, my voice like steel. Cade looked up at me, his face streaked with dirt. How? I pulled the USB drive from my pocket, holding it up. By burning everything they built to the ground. We had one shot. If we ran, they'd hunt us forever. If we fought them head-on, we'd lose. But if we took away their power? If we made them suffer? Then we'd win. City Hall sat on top of the main sewer control system. A sprawling underground complex designed to keep the elite separate from the filth they dumped into the city. It had fail-safes, backup pumps, systems built to keep everything flowing smoothly. We were about to break all of them. Cade handled the explosives. Small, precise charges placed in just the right spots to send wastewater surging backward. Not down into the sewers, but up. Into offices. Into mansions. Into every skyscraper where the rich pretended the rest of us didn't exist. By the time the first explosion went off, the streets were already flooding. Raw sewage burst from storm drains. Toxic sludge spewed from luxury apartments, spilling onto marble floors, soaking into designer carpets. The mayor's mansion? Drowned in shit. And the best part? We broadcasted it. Cade hijacked the local news feed, live-streaming the chaos to every screen in the city. The people, the ones who had suffered under these corrupt bastards for years, finally saw the truth. The system was rotting from the inside out. And we had just flushed it out into the open. The cost of war. We should have run. We should have disappeared the second the job was done. But I stayed. Because I wanted to see it fall. I stood on the rooftops, watching as the city choked on its own filth. The screams, the sirens, the chaos, it was beautiful. Then the gun pressed against the back of my head. I froze. Did you really think you'd get away with this? The voice was familiar. Too familiar. Rook. I turned slowly. His face was bloody, the gash across his cheek still fresh. But his eyes were what stopped me cold. Dead. Empty. Like he had nothing left to lose. You should have killed me, he said. I smiled. Spat blood onto the ground. I still can. His finger twitched on the trigger. Then a gunshot rang out. But it wasn't his. Chapter 4, Betrayal Runs Deep. The gunshot rang out. For a split second, I didn't know if I was dead. My body braced for the impact, for the pain. But it never came. Instead, Rook's body jerked back. A red mist sprayed through the air. His eyes went wide. His gun slipped from his fingers. Then he collapsed. I turned fast, my pulse thundering. Ash stood behind him, the gun still smoking in her hands. She was pale, her wounded arm still bleeding, but her stance was steady. She didn't hesitate. Didn't second guess. She saved me. No more traitors, she said, voice cold. Rook gasped, blood pooling beneath him. He wasn't dead, not yet. I crouched beside him, my knife glinting in my grip. You chose wrong. His lips trembled. His eyes burned into mine, filled with something, regret, maybe. Fear. Or nothing at all. I didn't care anymore. I stood up and turned away. Ash and Cade were already moving, getting ready to run. The city was falling apart, sirens wailing in the distance, the sky thick with smoke. We had one last thing to do. End this. For good. No more running. They were waiting for us. We barely made it to the hideout before the first gas canisters rolled in. Shit. Cade coughed, covering his mouth as thick, burning smoke filled the air. Move. I grabbed Ash's wrist, pulling her toward the back tunnel. We didn't have time. The enforcers had found us. Bullets ripped through the air, splintering the walls, shattering the few things we owned. Flashlights cut through the smoke. Shadows moved in. They were coming. And this time, they weren't leaving without bodies. We crashed through the tunnels, blind and desperate. The underground maze twisted and turned, but we weren't fast enough. Footsteps closed in behind us. Voices barked orders. Then, I felt something slam into my ribs. Pain exploded through my side. My legs buckled. I hit the ground hard. Riley! I could barely breathe. My vision blurred, my hands clawing at the concrete. Cade turned back, his face twisted in horror. Ash grabbed him, pulling him away. Go! I gasped. But they didn't move. I said go. their eyes locked on mine, hesitant, scared. Then they ran. The last thing I saw was black boots stepping in front of me. Then, everything went dark. The cost of survival. I woke up chained to a chair. The room was cold. Concrete walls. Dim lighting. The scent of blood hung in the air, old, stale. I wasn't alone. A man stood across from me, arms crossed, watching. His suit was too clean, his eyes too sharp. The kind of man who didn't ask for things. He took them. "So," he said, his voice smooth, controlled. "You're the infamous gutter queen." I didn't answer. I couldn't move. My wrists were cuffed to the chair. My ribs ached. My mouth was dry. The man sighed, stepping closer. "Do you know what happens to people who threaten the system, Riley?" I lifted my head, glaring. "They win." He smirked. Then he punched me in the stomach. Pain exploded through me. I doubled over, choking on air. "No," he said. "They disappear. Deal or death." I don't know how long they kept me in there. Hours? Days? The room never changed. The pain never stopped. They wanted me broken. But I didn't break. I spat blood onto the floor, grinning up at him. "Gonna have to hit harder than that, asshole." The man exhaled, shaking his head. "You're stubborn. That's admirable." He crouched beside me, voice dropping to a whisper. "But stubborn gets you killed." I leaned forward as far as the cuffs would let me. "So do rich pricks who talk too much." His expression darkened. Then he smiled. He pulled a phone from his pocket, turned the screen toward me. And my heart stopped. It was Cade and Ash. Grainy security footage. Running through the tunnels. Surrounded. Trapped. The enforcers had them. My stomach twisted. "You have two options," the man said. "You give us the USB drive." He tilted his head. "Or we execute them." I swallowed hard. "You think killing them will make me talk?" "No," he admitted. "But we won't just kill them, Riley. We'll make you watch. Slowly. And I don't think you want that." I kept my face blank, but inside, I was burning. They had them. My family. And I had one choice left to make. Chapter 5, Crown of Ruin. I was out of time. The screen flickered in front of me, showing Ash and Cade, their faces pale, hands zip-tied behind their backs. The enforcers had them. They had them, and I was chained to a fucking chair. The man in the suit watched me, waiting. Calm. Confident. Smug. Like he'd already won. "This is how it ends," he said smoothly. "You hand over the drive, they live. You keep playing games, and I make sure they die screaming." I didn't blink. Didn't breathe. Didn't flinch. My ribs felt like they were broken. My wrists were raw from struggling against the cuffs. But my mind, it was clear. He thought he had me in a cage. Thought I had nowhere left to run. He had no idea who he was dealing with. I let my head roll back, eyes half-lidded like I was giving in. "You win," I muttered, my voice hoarse. "I'll give you the drive." The man's smile was slow, victorious. "Smart girl." He stepped forward. And that's when I moved. Fast. I slammed my forehead into his nose, feeling the satisfying crunch of bone breaking. He staggered back, cursing, blood gushing down his face. Before the guards could react, I yanked my hands up, bringing the broken chair with them, and swung hard. The wood shattered against the closest enforcer's face, sending him sprawling. Then I ran. Hell unleashed. Alarms screamed through the building. My breath came ragged, every step pure agony, but I pushed forward. The facility was underground, a hidden black site, the kind that didn't exist on any map. That meant one way in, and only one way out. I burst into a hallway just as two more enforcers rounded the corner. They raised their guns, but I was already diving forward. My fingers closed around the gun of the one on the left, yanking it from his grip. I fired twice, the first shot taking him in the chest, the second dropping his partner. Two down. I didn't stop moving. I found Cade first. They had him tied to a metal chair in a room filled with wires and monitors, the kind of place built for interrogation, not conversation. His face was swollen, one eye nearly shut from the beating they'd given him. His head snapped up when I pushed through the door. "Holy shit," he croaked. "You're alive." "More or less." I shot the lock off his cuffs. "Where's Ash?" "They took her somewhere else," he gasped, rubbing his wrists. "We gotta go." "Not without her." Cade hesitated. "Riley, we don't have time." I grabbed his face, forcing him to look at me. "We don't leave family behind." His throat bobbed. Then he nodded. "We ran, breaking the system. We found Ash in the main security wing, handcuffed to a steel railing. A guard was standing next to her, his back turned. He never saw me coming. I wrapped an arm around his throat, wrenching him backward as he struggled. His boots scraped against the floor, his fingers clawing at my grip, but I didn't let go. I held on until he stopped moving. Then I took his keys and freed Ash. She slumped against me, shaking. "Took you long enough." "You're welcome," I muttered. Her eyes flicked to the bodies behind me. "You're getting better at this." "Yeah," I said grimly. "That's the problem." She didn't argue. We didn't have time. We hit the server room next. The USB drive wasn't enough anymore. Just exposing the corruption wouldn't fix anything. We had to wipe them out completely. Cade plugged into the mainframe, his fingers flying across the keyboard. "I can crash their whole network," he muttered. "Financials, private servers, everything. Wipe it all in one sweep." "How long?" I asked. Cade's jaw clenched. 5 minutes. We didn't have 5 minutes. The elevator dinged behind us. I turned just in time to see them flood in, heavily armed, armored, ready to finish the job. I raised my gun, and the world erupted in gunfire. Crown of ruin. Bullets ripped through the room. Sparks exploded from shattered monitors. Cade was still typing, still working, but the countdown was taking too long. We weren't going to make it. Then I saw the gas line. It ran along the wall, a thin metal pipe barely noticeable. But I noticed it. I grabbed a chair, threw it with everything I had. The impact snapped the pipe in half. Gas hissed into the air. I fired a shot directly at it. Boom! The explosion rocked the entire building. Flames raced through the hallways, swallowing everything. The enforcers were thrown off their feet, bodies colliding with walls. I grabbed Cade, pulling him away from the computer just as the servers erupted in flames. "We're done!" I shouted. The entire system was burning. Their files, their network, their power, gone. Everything they built was crumbling. Now we just had to survive it. The last escape. Smoke choked the air as we ran. My lungs burned, my body ached, but I didn't stop. We crashed through the exit doors, stumbling into the cold night. Behind us? The entire compound was collapsing. We stood there, watching it burn. Then Cade laughed. It was hoarse, broken, but real. "We actually did it," he whispered. Ash exhaled, shaking her head. "Holy shit." I watched the flames, my heart pounding. We weren't just survivors anymore. We were the ones who won. The gutter still reigns. We disappeared after that. The city never found us. But the rich? The corrupt? They felt us. Their money vanished overnight. Their secrets were exposed. Their power was broken. And the legend of the Gutter Queen? It never died. Because somewhere, in the darkest corners of the city, the gutters still whispered my name. And they always will. The end.